It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill, Kirk Elliott joining us in the studio as he does each Monday and Friday right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. I want to start off the show by saying thanks, Kirk, for filling in for me while I was under the weather a little bit this weekend. Appreciate you doing all that.
The big question is, how you feeling right now?
I'm on the mends. Is that the best way to put it? I'm on the mends. I'm feeling a little bit better, but I still got a little bit of a cough. And, it was so weird. When we did the show last, Wednesday here, right? I thought I had sinus problems. And I think I figured out what happened there. I think that Todd might have gave it to me out at Kansas Speedway. I'm not sure about that because Todd had the same symptoms. He was sick just like me. He thought it was sinuses just like I thought it was. Even though I don't have a sinus problem typically, I thought that might have been the case because the older you get, sometimes that happens, you know. You start getting that. And I went down to Lucas Oil Speedway. And the next day, I just felt like a smashed grape. You know what a smashed grape feels like, Kurt?
I have not a clue. I wouldn't have any idea what that feels like.
Well, all it is, I just felt like I was totally spent. And I just felt terrible down there. And the bad thing about it was the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial is my favorite race of the year. And we go down there, and all my friends that I've traveled with up and down the road for all those years, 13 years on the national tour, I want to hang out with them all. But I couldn't do it because I was sick, and I didn't want to get anybody else sick. I went up to the media room on Thursday night, Linton Scandal, what's his name, our buddy down there?
Lyndall Scranton. Yep.
He was down there, and I coughed a couple times, and immediately he ran outside and sat down out in the bleacher seats.
Well, you apparently didn't give it to him, because I saw him Saturday night, and he looked just fine.
He was just fine.
So did Jack Hockett. I spoke with him the other night and told him that it was bad that you couldn't be there the other night, but you didn't want to give it to anybody. And Jack looked fine, too, so... Anyway, we all miss you down there on Saturday night, so yeah. That's a bummer that that all happened.
It just was kind of a bummer, but Wayne Johnson picked up his second Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial win. He won it in 2016, you told me a little bit earlier, and what'd you think about that race?
I thought Sam Haferteep was going to run away and hide.
Yeah,
I mean,
me
he had
too.
A pretty solid lead in that race, but Wayne Johnson was working the bottom to perfection, and he made it work big time. But the big mover in that race was Blake Hahn. I thought he was going to have something for him there at the end. Then we find out after the race he was only running on 7 cylinders at the end, finished second.
And I talked to his dad yesterday, Tommy Hahn, and Tommy told me a plug wire come off.
Wow. I think he might have had a chance to win that if that not happened.
I'm going to say it right now. I think that Wayne would have had his hands full.
Yes.
If Blake wouldn't have lost the cylinder like
now
that.
Now that we know that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But, Wayne and Blake are pretty equal. You know, listen, all you got to do is look at the standings in the Lucas Oil ASCS National points to see that Wayne Johnson and Blake Hahn are really the more superior guys out of everybody that run with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. I think there's still don't count out Wayne Johnson to make a run at this championship at the end of the year, because I've seen it done before. I saw where Johnny Herrera won a race. The last four, I can't remember what year it was, but the last four races of the year, we were at, I think, Las Cruces, El Paso, and I think maybe Kokopal, where he was 137 points out of the lead, and in four races, he won that championship by 1 point, right? I should say. Anyway, that was pretty cool. Anyway, Wayne Johnson picks up. Scott Bogusky, he made a little run there right at the end of that race, didn't he?
He did, the 84 car. Yeah, he looked good the other night. But, I was amazed when they did the post-race interviews and Blake talked about only on seven cylinders. And I'm thinking to myself, man, if he was running on just seven cylinders, that's a pretty good finish.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I was a little surprised. Austin, how about you? Were you a little surprised that Sam faded like that? Because usually as the race goes on, he gets better as the race goes on, and he starts to improve. But he felt like his car was a little tight the other night. Were you a little shocked that he fell back to fourth?
Yeah, just a little bit. You know, they had a really, you know, the track, you know, throughout the whole week wasn't really consistent for them. The first two nights was rubber. And then they go out there, you know, for the final night and then do a hard rework, you know, before the nominating feature. And it really, you know, threw both features kind of for a curveball. And you know,
you
with guys.
Hold on. Do you think that the teams were thinking rubber was going to take, it was going to happen on Saturday night as well?
Well, teams knew that the rework was coming. So they knew that the nominating cars would blow off, you know, majority of the moisture and start, you know, getting some slick spots developed, and the wing cars would just take care of the rest of the moisture that was left and you know, burn it all the way, you know, off. And, you know, that's just, it's a tough position to be in to know what you want to do to your car, because, like I said, you don't have a whole lot of laps, you know, early in the week on a kind of a heavier, you know, wetter track that you know is going to blow off. So, you know, do you go out there and, you know, and start, you know, maybe, you know, a little too tight and fall back at the beginning, but be there at the end. But, you know, if you fall back too much early on and the track goes away, I mean, you're not going to get back to the front. Right. So that might have been a situation with Sam. But, yeah, it was a really weird, I think, situation for a couple of those guys to be in.
Yeah, no doubt. But do you feel like the teams thought it was going to rubber up? Because, you know, there was a couple guys that were talking about it. They thought that maybe it might take rubber towards the end of that race. Do you think that they were all preparing for rubber?
Yeah, you have to kind of keep it in your mind. But with it being – when it started off that way, I don't think it would have got to that point. It would have to take a lot, you know, for that to happen. It would have forced the track would have been a little drier to start, and also would have maybe, if all the cars ran on the bottom, you know, all 40 laps, then that might have happened. But with, you know, the top still kind of being good, you know, it gave some guys some outs, and the bottom wasn't as worn as much. But yeah, it was an interesting feature, to say the least.
I think Blake was 81 points in the plus, leading Wayne Johnson by 81 points going into the weekend. After the weekend was all over, now Blake Kahn has a 101 point lead. So Blake had a better, other than the win, I think Blake had a better weekend when it comes to points, right? Because I think he was 81 up, wasn't it, last week?
I don't remember.
I think it was.
Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah. I mean, overall, he had to have, you know, it shows he had a better weekend because, you know, he has, you know, a bigger lead. But I can't remember really how Wayne did the first two prelim nights. You know, I think he was an average car. But, you know, you can – there's a big gap between, you know, first three spots to, you know, 10th to 15th in points. So – you know, if Wayne has an off night like he did, you know, it's easy for Blake to have a good night and have, you know, a good night to gain, you know, quite a few points on him.
Right. Kirk, what's your thoughts about it? Tim Crawley, he didn't look too bad on his prelim night, did he?
Yeah, but not so good.
Not so good
on the second night, but he did get in the show. And he just didn't have as strong a car as he had on Thursday night. But Wayne Johnson, I think that really did him a lot of good stepping out of the car there, and it worked out for the schedule that there weren't any races there from early August to the late part of the month, so he was able to step out the car and get recuperated. I talked to him out here at Lakeside Speedway right here a couple of weeks ago, and he said, yeah, I feel fine now. So the fact that he was able to step out of that car and get recuperated from that terrible accident at Waikini, had some back issues there. He looks raring to go, and I was interested in the post-race interview from Wayne Johnson the other night. He and Jesse were pretty close, but they took a trip out to Australia one time. I thought that was a pretty interesting
story. Well, we're going to talk about that. Wayne Johnson's going to join us here in just a little bit on the show, so we appreciate him taking the time to do that today on Monday. Normally we don't have guests on Monday, but today we're going to do it because Wayne Johnson picked up the his second Jesse Hockett, Danny McMillan Memorial win. And, him and Jesse were very close. And, in fact, if you listen to Jack Hockett after the race, he felt like Jesse was as close to Wayne as anybody else.
Yeah. So that was a pretty cool story there that he told about that trip to Australia. You'll hear that again.
He wouldn't talk about any of the stories that happened over in Australia. Maybe we can try to get him to break one out here on the show today.
Find out a little bit more. But very impressive run for Wayne Johnson the other night to pick off that big win at Lucas Oil Speedway.
So on that was Thursday night, right, when Crawley won?
Yes.
Right. Wayne finished fifth that night. Blake Kahn was seventh. So that was on Thursday night. So anyway, that was pretty good. Wayne did pretty good that night too as well. So, all right.
And then I'm looking at Friday night a little bit. He didn't have that good of a finish in the A main on Friday night.
I think Tim Crawley pulled off the track on the first lap on Friday night, didn't he?
Yeah.
As a provisional car.
He got in as a provisional.
Well, you know what was so crazy about Friday night? Derek Hagar and Tim Crawley both didn't make the A main on that night. They both finished outside of where they needed to finish in their last chance qualifier, or the B main. Is that right, Kurt?
Right.
Both of them?
Yep.
And Wayne Johnson finished 15th on Friday night.
Yeah.
After starting in 18th. Position, so he made the show, but not as good a finish as he had the night before, and then ultimately on Saturday night.
I don't know, what'd you think of the weekend overall, Austin? Let's start with you. Rubber down the first couple nights, you know, they were disappointed with that. Listen, Lucas Oil Speedway has done an excellent job on preparing that racetrack for the last several years. And you know they were very disappointed with it, taking a little bit of rubber on Thursday and Friday. And they really put the big effort in to make sure that didn't happen on Saturday night as well.
Friday was a better racetrack than Thursday night. There's no doubt about that, especially that non-wing race on Friday night. Really good battle there in that race. So I think Friday night was a whole lot better than Thursday night.
I want to give a little bit of a shout-out to Landon Crawley. He got a fourth-place finish.
Great run.
In fact, he was on the podium. He was running third at one point, and he fell back. I think Roger got around him there on the last lap. But Landon Crawley looked pretty damn good, I thought, on Friday night.
He had a problem at the beginning of the race on Saturday night, and for him to rally back from that, that's pretty solid run by him.
Yeah. What'd you think? Landon Crawley, I think when his dad retires and he gets his dad in there and makes him a full-time crew chief, I think Landon's going to improve dramatically. Anybody else disagree with me on that? Austin?
No, I agree with you. Anytime you can, I mean, Tim's knowledge is huge.
Off the chart,
I mean, he knows. Yeah. He's seen it all and done it all. And,
right.
I know firsthand what it feels like when you have somebody, come work for you, that's been in that situation before. You know, it's drivers will say it all the time, drivers say it all the time. You know, the best crew chief you can have is a former driver, and so it's just it'll be a great partnership and relationship between those two. When that transition happens, and I'm right with you on seeing him, improve you know, farther from what he's shown this year. I did not expect him to come down here and run that good. I figured he might make the show one night, but, you know, be at the front of the B mains, and for him to make the show, I think, every night.
He passed.
And I think he was the hard charger on Saturday, too. So he was really impressive. So just imagine what that run might have looked like if you know, he had some more help from Tim.
Yeah, for him to come from the back of the pack to finish eighth after that trouble there early in the race, that's pretty impressive.
He started sixth, Kurt.
Yeah, but he had to come from the back of the pack after having some issues there on Saturday night. He started actually started 20th, Landon Crawley. And then he had to go to the back and then come slicing his way up from
the back of the A main.
Yeah. Well, he started 20th in the A main, but then he had a problem and then had to restart at the back, and he sliced his way all the way from the back into eighth place at the finish.
I don't remember that. So you were there, so you would know better
than
that.
Yeah, I watched him slice up through there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good run for him as well. So I just want to give him a little bit of a shout-out because, you know, I think the kid's got some talent. And once his dad gets over there and starts helping him, I think it's going to be pretty good. How about let's talk a little bit about Knoxville yesterday. Jonathan Davenport gets around Tyler Bruning right at the end of that race, man. What'd you think about that, Kurt?
Well, yeah, it's an interesting feature event. I drove up there yesterday to watch that event, and, you know, I knew it was going to be bad, you know, running that show in the daytime, and I get why they did that, because there was some more rain in the forecast. As a matter of fact, I drove through a little bit of rain getting there, south of Knoxville, so there was a question whether they'd get it in, but running a day show was just, that's not good for anybody, and that track was not good for the one race that they had as the preliminary. They had one B main, and Tyler Erb just walked away and hid.
Let me ask you, Kirk, how did the crowd respond to the notion that they cut it from 75 to 50? It was supposed to be a 100-lap race in the beginning. They cut it to 75, and then they cut it down to 50. They got a B main and an A main. How'd the fans take that?
They didn't take it well.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them because, first of all, you only had one race before the feature events up there. You had a 15-lap B main. You were supposed to have two B mains, but some cars left. They started out with 48 for the weekend. They ended up with 36 yesterday. So they ran one B main, and then they had the Malvern Bank late models up there. Instead of running a full set of heat races there, they just ran qualifying.
Yeah.
So they just had one preliminary race. So if you're a race fan, you pay good money to come see a race. You want to see more than two races.
Yeah.
And so you want to try to get as many laps as you can watch. And already they had cut it from 100 down to 75 during the weekend. Thursday, I think we found out about that.
Right.
So then you find out it's going to be cut back further. I think most of the frustration from the fans was saying, is that all you're going to give me? Two races?
How much was the ticket yesterday?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I'm not sure how much.
Yeah. All right.
It was probably $35. It
had to be at least $30, $35. Yeah, for sure. Hey, but you got a post-race interview with
I did.
Jonathan,
you know, it turned
Davenport
out to be a great – I thought it turned out to be a great race.
Yeah.
In the end, they came out, spent 2 hours, reworked the track, turned out to be a good racetrack, and a pretty thrilling finish for Jonathan Davenport, who picks up his ninth feature win of $50,000 or more, and that's including the million-dollar win. And he was able to get around Earl Pearson Jr. for second. He chased down Jonathan Tyler Bruning for the lead, got it with just a couple of laps to go, and here's that conversation with Jonathan Davenport, the first-time winner at Knoxville.
Boy, how much did the game plan change after you found out it was going to go from 75 to 50?
Not a whole lot. I mean, we didn't put the same tires on we was going to. And other than that, you know, obviously our setup stayed the same. We didn't change anything there because we didn't really know how long the sun would stay out, how long the cloud cover would be. You know, that changes the racetrack more than anything. So we just took a estimated guess, you know, right there in the middle, and it worked out for us.
Getting past for second place, that was a real challenge for you. Just talk about that when you finally got into second place.
Yeah, you know, I lost the lead early by my mistake, and then Bobby took off on a restart, and I think his motor was tightening up, so I lost second spot there and went back to third. And then it just took me a long time to figure out where I needed to be to get by Earl. And I almost had him slid one time, but I didn't think I quite had him clear, so I led him back around. And then it took me four or five laps to get back going again. And then I finally cleared him, and then it was just to see if I could run down the leader in time.
And you went to the top side to finally get around?
Yeah, you know, that's finally where I had to go. I wasn't very good around the bottom. It was too tight there. And I just had to keep a lot of air on my nose to be able to turn. So we just started going to the top and burning the tires off of it and see what we came up with.
Man, this has been an incredible season. 2015 was big for you, but man, nine $50,000 plus victories, including that $1 million win. Can you put into words the season you're having?
No, not really. I'm just living a dream right now, honestly. It's been awesome. My guys have given me an awesome car all year, and I'm just trying to represent my sponsor and my car owner and my guys as good as I can.
The key is putting yourself in great position to start up front in a lot of these races. Is it not the preliminary rounds you've done very well?
Of course, you know, it don't matter what format we've had, we seem to excel in all of them for whatever reason. But that's just it's just a good balanced car, and I know what I got every time we roll out there. Even if we don't qualify good, we heat race pretty good, and then whenever the track gets slick, it's when we really come alive.
First big win at Knoxville. How big's that?
Man, it's huge. This place has eluded me for a long time. I just ain't never really felt comfortable here, but finally got the big one here. But you know, it was only 50 laps during the daytime, so you know, there's a lot of stipulations to it. But if this is the only one I was going to win, I like this one.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And there you have it. That's Jonathan Davenport after his victory up at Knoxville yesterday, the Knoxville Late Model Nationals. I was a little surprised that Earl Pearson Jr. fell back to fifth because he was such a player there right at the end of that race. I was a little shocked that he fell that far back.
I think it was more of a product of Brandon Shepherd doing pretty well there at the end. He became a big-time player. For him to slip up there into third place was more a testament to how well he was running.
But Earl Pearson Jr. was running second with about five laps to go. And for Brandon Shepherd, Ricky Thornton Jr. to get around him right there at the end of that race, I was a little surprised by that. You know, I was kind of pulling for Tyler to win that race a little bit. I'm a little fond of the red number 16.
Yeah, so you're a 16 guy. Yeah. I thought he was going to
do it. I always pull for a 16.
He had such a big lead in that race. Yeah. I didn't think Davenport had enough time chasing down, to be right honest with you.
I didn't either. All right, we're going to take a break when we come back. Wayne Johnson, who picked up his second Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial, is going to join us right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Jared Specialty Sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three 9-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Kirk Elliott sitting in with us, as he does every Monday and Friday with us here on Mostly Motorsports. Joining us now is a longtime friend of the Racing Boys. He picked up his second Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial win this last weekend. Wayne Johnson joins us on the show. Wayne, how you doing, bud?
Good, Scott. Great to be on.
Hey, man. That has to be really thrilling to pick up your second Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial win.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we've been struggling of late, you know. So to get that win at that race is a big, big deal for me anyway. But just to get back on track sure feels good, you know, period.
Yeah. Wayne, talk about the two prelim nights. What was the difference between your car from Thursday, Friday to Saturday? Because you looked a lot better on Saturday.
Well, we were just, honestly, we were just off. I mean, a lot of, you know, we crashed a car in Waukini here back in July, and then we've been kind of searching to get back our rhythm and get back, you know, to back where we were. And we've just been off and hadn't been able to figure it out. Just finally, you know, got going again, and I can't honestly put my finger on exactly what it was, but lots of changes and lots of you know, just working on it and trying to make it better.
Yeah, talk about when you were running down Sam, and you made that pass for the lead. Sam is not the easiest guy to outrun, is he?
No, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, just talk about that. Were you surprised that you ran him down that easily?
No, you know, before we ever went green, I, you know, whenever they let us hot lap up, you know, half a corner, half a straightaway, or half a lap, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
I knew I had a good race car right then. You know, we just had been struggling and getting our balance right, and I knew right then that our car was really good. Did I know we were going to win the race? There's no way, but I just knew I had a good race car and that you know, we were going to actually be able to go ahead. I felt like we were going to move ahead. And then, you know, we just ran the bottom there waiting on the fuel load to burn off a little bit. And then there was a time that traffic was into play and was able to run the top. And then once I knew I could run the top or the bottom, I knew I was really good. So then we just got to pounding that bottom. And then when I needed to go to the top, like I passed Blake off the two on the top and was pretty dominant getting by him because he's not an easy car to pass. So I knew when I cleared him pretty easy, I thought, man, our car is really good. And, you know, it just builds confidence when you're able to do those things. And then, you know, running Sam down there, I would gain on him and then I'd miss and then I'd lose. And I just knew that, you know, the way the whole week had played out, if you were out on the top and spinning and dragging a left rear, you know, your tires gave up. And I felt like that was what was going to happen to him. So I just kept plugging away. And honestly, the bottom, you know, was really good there for me. And Scott, our tires are so good, I could run them again this next weekend.
Oh, no kidding. Wayne, did you think that because of the previous two nights when it took a little bit of rubber, did you feel that there might be some rubber on Saturday night? Were you anticipating that or not?
I was. Actually, I was concerned at how we were all going to make 40 laps. And that was kind of going into my game plan a little bit, is to try to conserve the tires as much as possible early in the race and not try to run the top because the way the racetrack had played out all weekend, normally the top would start to lay a little rubber and actually seemed like it got a little bit quicker. But fortunately, they really worked that racetrack really good before that non-wing feature and kept it dirty enough that I think it was starting to lay a little rubber on the top because after the race is over, I went up there and it was probably pretty stuck up there too. So yeah. I just, fortunate enough, I don't think anybody was brave enough to go up there and check it out late in the race.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to tell you, when you were in victory lane with Jack, it was pretty an emotional moment there between you and Jack when he said that you were maybe the closest person to Jesse out of all the people that ran on the Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour. Talk about your relationship with Jesse a little bit. I know that you guys went to Australia. Yeah, I know you couldn't tell people on the PA about some of those stories over in Australia, but maybe here on Mostly Motorsports we could talk about that a little bit. But your relationship with Jesse.
Scott?
Yep, are you there?
Hello?
Hey, now, are you there now?
Oh, okay, I thought I lost you there for a minute.
Oh, you might have.
You know what, I'd probably rather keep some of those stories to, you know, just us, but a lot of people don't need to know about it, especially his mother.
right, but, okay, I got you.
But, no, me and Jesse were really close. A lot of people didn't know it, but, you know, a lot of times Jesse would be in California race and I'd be in Texas or Ohio or wherever, and he would be driving for a new team or this, that, and the other. He was always calling me to bounce ideas off me, and, you know, there's a lot of races that Jesse Hockett won that I felt like I was part of, you know, just helping him over the phone. And, you know, me and Jesse were really close, you know, with that way. And then just doing things off the track, you know, going and doing things together. And just got really close to him. He was one of the guys that, you know, I wanted to help. And I could see the fire in his eyes that he wanted to do this. And unfortunately, with what happened there, you know, we never know what Jesse Hockett's potential was going to be. But here I am, 51 years old, still out here racing. And honestly, Scott, I'd probably be done by now and probably be racing with Jesse if he was still around.
I know that it's hard to predict where Jesse's career would have been, but he was in the prime of his career when he passed away. Do you think Jesse would be one of the – do you think he'd be a star right now in the world of sprint car racing?
I think so. I don't know which division. I don't know if it's been the World of Outlaws or with USAC or you know, who knows even where he would have been, maybe even at the cup level. But definitely was a lot of potential there. You know, Jesse hadn't raced that long when he passed and had accomplished a lot right away. And, you know, it's hard to say. I don't really know. I just know that, you know, the kid was definitely talented and had a bright future ahead of him.
Yeah. Your relationship with Jack, it seems like it's awful tight talk about that relationship that you have with Jack Hockett.
We're just really close, mainly by phone calls, and we talk. You know, we don't get to see each other often, but
right.
You know, I think Jack can relate with me just because me and Jesse were so close, and that me and Jesse talk so much, and that kind of thing. But me and Jack just stay in touch on the phone, and you know, about lots of just personal stuff and racing stuff, and then he Grammy, here a couple years ago, he got Grammy on the motorhome, and they come to Florida and race with us a couple of weeks down there. And it's just unfortunate we don't live closer, because I think if we did, we'd be a lot closer than we are, and we'd get to go do a lot of fishing and stuff together. But with me slowing down here in the next year or so, our relationship might even get stronger, because I'm going to go fishing with him. I'm ready to go crappie fishing with him.
You know, Jack fishes about every day.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Just give me a little insight how close are you with Connie? Do you talk to her much?
I don't talk to Connie that much, other than when Jack's around or whatever. But she's always been great to me, and I really don't know her that well, honestly, other than when they went racing with me a little bit, and she'd just sit and read her book, and I'd give her crap about, are you going to go up and watch these races or read that book? And she said, well, when you get ready to go up there, I'm going up there, but I'm reading this book right now.
Yeah. They've done a good job at keeping the Jesse Hockett brand alive since his passing, through the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial. And it just, they've done a good job with their race team as well. Can you comment on that
bit? I know Jack stays, with the Wagners and doing all that, and that's why he's still getting the race and all that. But, the whole family, and I don't even know all of them, to be honest with you,
right,
Scott. But, after winning that race, they come to me and they all congratulate me, but they all, they're all sincere enough to know, or sincere to me, I think, saying that they'd rather have nobody else win that race other than me, So it really makes me feel good, makes me, almost feel like part of the family, because I do feel like I am at times. And all the girls and just the whole group, have always treated me well. And I don't really know why, other than just the relationship that me and Jesse had. And, a lot of people don't know it, but, like Jesse, there was a time that I bought a team out in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I got to Tulsa, and the truck and trailer I brought wasn't even big enough to get everything I bought, and I didn't realize it. And I called Jesse, and I said, hey, grab your pickup and a flatbed trailer and come down to Tulsa and help me load this stuff up and take it back to Iowa. And there was not even a question. He just got in his truck and come did it, And
yeah.
So that just goes to show you the kind of friends we were.
Wayne, I've been around for a lot of big wins for you. The $50,000 to win a race up there at I-80. When you had your comeback win up at Grays Harbor, that first time you came back, you won that race up there. Two Jesse Hockett, Daniel McMillan Memorials. Where would you rate this as far as accomplishment-wise? Is the $50,000 race at the top, or is it the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial? Is it that comeback win up at Grays Harbor? Where would you rate those races?
I mean, they're all great races.
Right.
Unfortunately, the $50,000 means a lot just because of the money. But
right.
And then the comeback win, winning back at Grays Harbor was a big deal for me, just because I felt like that was a racetrack that tried to take my career away. So
yeah,
that was a pretty emotional win also. But they all kind of rate right up there. But, honestly, Scott, this one means a lot, but the first one meant the most, because
right.
I'd never really run well at Lucas Oil, and we struggled, and I thought, man, that's one race I'll never win. So
yeah,
the first one was really special. I mean, this one's definitely special, but the first one was probably the most special race of all.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It was really good to see you win that race there, Wayne. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour Championship. I think you were 81 points out going into the weekend, if I'm not mistaken. Now you're 101 points out. Talk about Do you remember the year when it was Shane Stewart? He was like 137 points out of the lead with four races to go, and he won that championship by 1 point over Johnny Herrera, if you remember that. I think you were out on the tour that year. Do you feel like you still got a shot at this thing?
You know, there's races left, so there's definitely a shot. Blake and Tommy and Dalton, they've done a great job with their 360 program, and you know, definitely came into this deal wanting to win the championship, and that was the plan. That's still the plan. But you know, they've got a really good team over there, and they're doing all the right things. So without him having some bad luck or some trouble, I think it's going to be hard to do, just because they're such a great team. But me and Darren, you know, we got off in the last, since the July 4th weekend when we had that big crash. I've just been off ever since. And, you know, my back was been hurt, but now my back's good. And I feel like we're back to where we feel like we need to be, other than we just, for the last month or 6 weeks or whatever, I just feel like that for some reason my mentality went back to 410 racing, and I just got my car all too tight every night and just been off, honestly. And, you know, this weekend being three races at the same track, really I was able to work on my car and try to learn from it. It was more like a test session, honestly, Scott. And
right.
I was able to get it back to where I feel like we need to be. And I feel like going to Louisiana, you know, I feel like we're the car to beat, because I feel like we unload with what we got package-wise there. I think we're going to be just as good.
I think if you can explain that a little bit more for the listeners that are out there right now, when you have that extra 200 horsepower with a 410, you can get yourself out of trouble. With a 360, you got to keep your car kind of freed up, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, and that's part of it a little bit. But just, you know, I've raced 410s basically for the last 4 years up to this point, and I don't know if that knock on the head there at Joaquin knocked me back into the 410 stages or what, but just honestly, for the last month and a half, 6 weeks, whatever, we feel like we've just had our car way too tight, and going back to old notes and stuff, it looked like we were just messed up. I don't know, you know, and it's really easy, honestly, to look in the book and go, why were you doing that? Because you never done that before in a 360, but just hindsight now, you know, looking back, it's just we got off, and I don't know, I can't really put my finger on it why I decided that's what needed to happen or whatever, but definitely the 410 car, you know, they drive different, the horsepower is different, the weight of the engine is different, there's just a lot of different packages, and you know, started off in the first year, you know, I was kind of doing the two together and trying to, and actually was being successful making it work, but just got way off. I just got out in left field and just way too tight.
Yeah. What'd Todd have to say about all the victory this weekend?
You know, Todd's a great car owner, you know, and you'd always give those guys all the credit, because without them, him and Kelly and the girls, I couldn't do what I do. But, you know, Todd, he's not a very emotional guy.
Right.
He doesn't really say a whole lot, but I know he was proud to get back in the winner's circle and to put $10,000 back in the racing account sure helps too. But unfortunately, someday I wish he'd be a little bit more emotional, but I know he was proud of it.
All right, Wayne, so here's the question. I don't mean this because you're an old man now at 51 years old, but you're getting up there. You're getting a little long in the tooth. How much longer are you going to do this, buddy?
You know, I've said this all year long, but I'm slowing down next year, and I can honestly tell you that I will not race anything full-time after 2022. We're going to race, but we're only going to race when and where we want to. Unfortunately, looking at this point thing and all this stuff, I got an eight and a half hour drive over the weekend just to go to one race. And those are the weekends that I don't particularly care for. I mean, spend a whole weekend driving, basically what we're going to do. And I could sit around my pool and use my pool one more time this winter and have a couple of cocktails and enjoy myself. But instead, I'm driving, you know, going to drive 17 hours round trip to go to one race.
I think that the schedule's better this year, but that trip, one night show to pull all the way down to Louisiana, that doesn't make sense to me, really.
Right. Yeah, no, that's just too much, I think. I mean, I think Terry's done a great job with the series.
He has.
I think he's done a great job with the scheduling, not going to the West Coast and this, that, and the other.
No
just
doubt.
Because, you know, these are just 360s, and they're not great big teams, unfortunately, you know. And a lot of guys struggle to make that happen. But all in all, I think he's done a great job.
I
mean, I think
too.
He's worked hard. I think there's things that need to be better, but definitely feel like that, you know, every racer is going to bitch about something. And I guess, you know, it's never going to make everybody happy, but I think he's done a great job.
You know, I always say this about the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour, that it's a good place to learn how to be a professional. If you have the resources and you can stay out there and you can do it, it's a good way to figure out if this is what you want to do in the future, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's definitely a good stomping ground. And you know, I'm telling you, it's the competition level's, as always, it's pretty talented. You know, there's some pretty talented guys out there and some pretty well-funded teams. And, you know, just like I use Landon Crawley as basically – you know, the up-and-comer. You know, he schooled his old dad there the other night, and I was really proud of him. And, you know, I've known him since he was born. And, you know, 14 years old, or I don't even know if he's 14, actually 13 or 14. I don't even know how old he is. But,
right.
You know, to be out, be able to come out and run these races and learn, but he's definitely got a bright future, you know. And ASCS has definitely given him the ability to go travel and run these races at a young age.
Yep. Todd, he wants to know if you're going to be running the Silver Crown cart Springfield in October.
No, because that's Devil's Bowl weekend. And I tried to work out a deal to get there during the day. But financially, it just doesn't make any sense to use the Lear. You know, my boss has got a jet. And to use the Lear jet to go do that, it's about $5,000 round trip. And to make that happen, and it, you know, the race only pays $10,000 to win. So,
yeah.
You know, we race Devil's Bowl on Friday night, and then we race Devil's Bowl on Saturday night, but that Springfield race is midday on Saturday. So,
yeah.
It'd be tough to do. I'd like to do it, but just can't make it work for financial reasons, for one. But
yeah.
Plus, you know, who knows? We get back to within a few points of this championship in the next race or two. You know, we need to be focused on what we're doing too.
Yep. I got to ask you, with the they haven't announced it yet, but we know that I-30 Speedway is getting ready to go away, and the short track nationals are going to be going away. And there's rumors going around that Devil's Bowl might be sold as well. You know, you got I-80, Devil's Bowl, I-30 Speedway. Those are some pretty big tracks when it comes to Lucas Oil ASCS. What do you think about losing those tracks there, Wayne?
Well, I think it stinks because it's a couple of my favorite racetracks, you know, Little Rock and Devil's Bowl.
Yeah.
It's an unfortunate situation for ASCS because those are the racetracks that really excel for our series, you know, and give us more than one race a year or whatever. But it, you know, I guess I don't know the answer to that, Scott. I know there's a lot of racetracks that are going to the wayside, and I guess the land's worth more money and all that. I'm hoping that, you know, some of these other racetracks around, like, you know, I've heard that if Devil's Bowl goes away, that the Edwards family is planning on spending some money on Lawton and making it a prestige place and kind of just taking over from there. So hopefully that'll happen. But, you know, I don't know where the slack will be taken up at Little Rock. And, you know, unfortunately, there's not a lot of new racetracks coming in and you know, to take that place.
Do you think West Memphis might be a good place to take that race to, the short track nationals? I don't think they have enough pits,
really,
do they?
No.
They don't have enough pits, really, do they?
No, not really. And I don't know that would be the best place. But, I mean, I hope somebody picks the race up and you know, move it somewhere. And if you know, the ditch is not one of my favorite racetracks, so I guess that's why I'm saying what I'm saying. But,
right.
You know, it'd be great for any racetrack to pick up that race and keep the short track nationals, you know, going.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, that's where you got your nose broke down there at the ditch, didn't you?
It was, yes.
Yeah. I think you ended up winning that race, didn't you?
No, I think I run second to Johnny Herrera, but I don't remember. It's been so long ago. I don't really remember. I don't think I won, but I think I run second. And that might be even a lie, too, because I don't remember.
I think you had to change helmets during a red, didn't you?
Yes, I definitely did have to change helmets because it broke the whole front of the helmet off when the brake caliper or the muffler, I don't remember which one it was. It was one or the other, and broke my helmet and smashed my face in, blacked both my eyes. Pretty ugly.
Yeah. Well, Wayne.
Well, it didn't make me any more ugly, but it made me, scary looking. How about that?
Yeah. Well, you know what? You still got a beautiful wife there. You're a lucky man, by the way. That wasn't a lateral, just so you know.
She takes care of me, that's for sure.
Yeah,
she's a good gal.
She's a good girl. All right, Wayne, thanks so much for taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports. Man, I really appreciate you doing so. And we'll be talking to you down the road. I hope that you get out there and make a run at that championship with Blake Hahn. And I hope it all works out for you this year.
Yep. Thanks, Scott, for having me.
All right. There you have it, Wayne Johnson. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more of Mostly Motorsports. We're going to wrap up the show when we come back right here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Spirit Specialty Sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I want to remind everybody about the great track tribute that's going on through October 1st up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum right now. It's all about Ascot Park. They've got all kinds of great videos, memorabilia, just all kinds of cool stuff that represents Ascot Park that was in Gardena, California. And again, that's only going on through October 1st, so you need to get up there because time is running out. Get up there and check out this great track tribute. They've got a bunch of great race cars up there, Parnelli Jones cars, Jimmy Oski cars. It's just a great exhibit. And if you haven't been up there, I know, Kirk, you've been up there and you've seen it. It is one of the great track tributes of all time, isn't it?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Yep. If you don't know anything about Ascot Park, you're going to learn all about it by walking through that exhibit. It's just going to be there a short time
right
here. So get on up there, check it out.
Yeah, it's such a great thing. And they got a bunch of great videos about that racetrack, so you can get an idea of what that racetrack was all about. And while you're up there, you need to buy you a Sprint Car raffle ticket as well. They've got a 2022 Triple X chassis, a complete 410 race car that they're going to be giving away. I think that's on December 15th, I think it is. They're going to give that car away, plus they're going to give you $25,000 in order to help pay for the taxes on the car as well. It's such a great car. I know Austin would love to win that car. I would like to win it. I bought some tickets for the Sprint Car Raffle as well. Have you bought any tickets for that car?
Yeah, bought some tickets up there when I was up there in August. I got some tickets. I don't know what I'm going to do if I win this car. Give it to Austin, I guess.
We're going to give it to Austin.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the very least, we'll give him the motor.
There you go.
At the very least. So yeah, that way he could be a 410 Sprint Car driver if he wanted to.
And Bob Baker, I'm sorry I didn't see you yesterday. I drove into town. It was a quick turnaround from Lucas Oil Speedway the night before and to get everything down.
Are you tired?
I rolled into town. Not really. I was pretty good shape, really. I'm rolling into town about 2 o'clock, and I find out that they're going to start early. So I had to hustle in, make sure I got in the infield before the races. So,
right.
Bob, if you're listening, sorry I didn't get to see you yesterday, but enjoyed the day in Knoxville, as short as it was.
How about that win for Brent Marks at Lincoln? Was that amazing or what? Right there at the end of that race, he gets around Macri for the win. What did you think about that?
He utilized the bottom of that racetrack a lot better. Macri, look, was there some sparks flying out of his car there?
That's
a couple
his
of
brakes.
Times there. Was that his brakes?
Yeah.
What was that?
His brakes.
Yeah. But I thought Marks did a much better job on the bottom of the racetrack, and he made it work there at Lincoln.
What did you think of that race, Austin?
That was pretty good.
Were you surprised that Brent got around him there at the end of the race?
No. If he would have finished second, we would have been sitting here talking about how it was such a disappointing race for Brent and how Brent's not, you know, up to Brent Marks standards.
Yeah. You know, at the start of that race, though, I thought Justin Peck was going to get around Anthony Macri. Didn't you think so there right at the start of that race? He put some serious pressure on Macri a little bit there, didn't he?
Yeah, it's just going to – man, anytime you get Brent and Anthony up there in the front of a race at Lincoln, it's going to be tough to beat them. You know, those two guys have – you know, a ton of laps and a ton of experience in just Pennsylvania in general, and especially at Lincoln, too. So, you know, Peck's had some speed here recently, and I think, you know, he went to the Tusky and had some decent runs, but really wasn't as good as he was in the previous about a month or so of racing. And I think that maybe might be due to just his half-mile program. Kind of gets on a shorter track here at Lincoln and was pretty good. So, You know, hopefully Peck can get this, you know, back rolling, get his speed back up. And I don't know if he has a shot at the championship anymore, but it'd be cool to see him pick up some more wins and try, you know, get up to maybe, you know, second or third in the best sprint car drivers in 2022.
How about Danny Dietrich going over that guardrail and was no more than a foot away from the chain link fence on the front straightaway? That could have been a disaster right there, couldn't it?
Yeah, it could have been really bad. You know, it's kind of an interesting design they have, you know, with the front stretch wall and the fence being set back. You know, it's about maybe 4 or 5 foot removed from the walls, the catch fence, and it doesn't look like it's a very good fence at all.
Didn't look very sturdy, did it?
No. Go from watching, you know, Lucas Oil and, you know, everything they have is, you know, state of the art and, you know, best of the best, and, you know, you switch streams over to watch Lincoln on Saturday night and you see like this, you know, homemade look and catch fence. I mean, it might have been good, I don't know, when they built it, let's say 20, 30 years ago or whatever it was. You know, a lot of things have changed, and I think, you know, we saw this push with the World Racing Group after, I can't remember what year it was. It was maybe 20...
Evolution?
Yeah, 2017 when Jason Johnson...
I was there. I was standing 20 feet from where those cars flew over the fence.
Yeah, I think it was 17 when Jason and... Was it Joey Saldana that he got into it with?
I think it was. Two cars flew over the fence.
Yeah, left the track. So, you know, the World Racing Group, and if you go look at Evolution, they've mandated, you know, a concrete wall around the place and you know, good fencing. So... you know, I get it's a lot of money to invest in that, but, you know, safety is our number one priority here. So I think some tracks need to kind of look at, you know, that facility over the winter and, you know, maybe reevaluate what they have.
Is there video to see how that started? I mean, I'm seeing the result there, but how did that happen?
I don't think they had any video of him getting up over there.
Normally they put it in the highlight package if they have a video of it.
Right.
They did not, so I'm assuming that they missed it.
And that's a great example why the announcers always say, don't stand by the fence, right? Isn't that a perfect example right there?
Well, especially sprint cars. My God. Right. You know, that's a pretty scary situation there with the way Dietrich's car ended up there.
Tammy said Lincoln put all new walls and catch fence in 2 years ago, except for the front straightaway.
Yeah, I've seen...
I wonder why they did that, Tammy. Why didn't they do the front straightaway, do you know?
I've seen the fence in turn one be used here more recently. I get on Twitter every once in a while, and it's... You know, every about a month you see someone testing out the fence into one, and you know what they, I'm assuming now that, you know, she said that, you know, they fixed the fencing and, you know, everywhere but the front stretch. So, you know, if they just, you know, added that same fencing, you know, down the front stretch, I think it'd be good enough, because like I said, I've seen plenty of guys, you know, test it out and not have an issue with it.
Yeah. Well, you know, for racetracks, it's a tough time to do a lot of major capital improvements on racetracks right now. It's a tough time to do that because the promoters aren't making the money they used to make, right? What do you guys disagree with me on that?
Some promoters aren't, and some promoters are probably doing better than they have been. You know, that's just, it's a couple factors in that, you know, are just their program, their facility, and some of the events that they have. You know, I think if you look at I'll use Eldora as an example. I think Eldora is doing better than they have been in the past, and you know, maybe look at some of these local places. And I know it's kind of hard to compare a national track to a local track, but it's the first thing that kind of came to mind there.
Yeah, Marie, and God bless Marie, man. She's here every day for us, just about every day. When she's got to work sometimes, and we appreciate her having to work, but she said the Beer Hill gang at the Grove is scary to see the fans in chairs along the fence.
Wow. Yeah, that is kind of scary. When it comes to safety, cost should not be a big factor. You should just make it happen, especially if you're running open-wheel cars or sprint cars. Some people can't grip on the fencing.
Some people just can't afford to do it, Kurt.
Or then you can't afford to run sprint car races.
Well,
if that's the case.
Maybe that's the case, right? Yeah, maybe.
Hey, can I talk about the non-wing race down at Lucas Oil Speedway the other night?
Sure.
What'd you think about Chase Randall and Mario Clouser. Those guys had a pretty good duel going on there.
Chase,
I picked Clouser
tonight,
to win on Saturday morning, but Chase Randall able to make it work and pull off a big win down
Chase
there.
Ran second the night before, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not surprised that he won.
Yeah. That was a good race.
How about Mario Clouser? Did you think, once he got in the lead, you thought, did you think he was going to win?
I thought he was going to win, but Chase just kept working it, and you know, he was able to pull off the. It took some doing for him to make that pass, but he was able to stick to what he was doing there. Pretty impressive young talent there.
Was that
what is he? 18 years old now.
Yeah. How about Wesley Smith? He made a run there right at the end of that race too. Hey. Austin, did somebody just call you from New York, just want to talk to you?
I think he was from the government.
Oh.
I think he wants to speak to you. I don't know if it was a scam or not, but.
It's got to be a scam because the government
ain't looking
for us.
His name's Felix. It wasn't the IRS.
It wasn't the IRS.
No, I don't think it was IRS.
Right.
He couldn't speak hardly a lick of English.
Hey, what'd you think of Wesley Smith making that little run there at the end of that race, that non-wing race on Saturday night?
Nah, it wasn't enough to get the job done. Once that yellow came out, and they were, you know, Wayne kind of talked about it with, you know, normally at Lucas you can kind of get away with, you know, running through the slick a little bit and not hurting your tires. And I don't know if it's an issue with Hoosier this year or what's going on, but I feel like Mario kind of burned his stuff up. And, you know, the Nomi race didn't have a lot of slick spots, but the straightaways were a little slick. And, you know, you go from, you know, have a ton of speed and grip off the corner and the moisture to just, you know, blowing the right rear tire off it, you're going to burn it up a little bit. And, yeah, I think maybe Mario might have used his stuff up and, you know, allowed Chase to get by. Then, you know, Wesley's, you know, kind of coming through the field and has having to use all of his equipment up to get to the front. And I don't think it was just wasn't enough to get the job done. I think it would have been cool to see him go back-to-back, but Chase kind of surprised us this year.
Yeah.
One guy I thought earlier was going to have be a factor in that race was Wyatt Burks. Now, he ended up in fifth place in that race, but he faded back. Casey Schumann was able to get around
Casey
him there.
Casey Schumann
come
from
point.
Ninth to run fourth.
Yeah, Schumann ended up
and
fourth.
And he doesn't race that much anymore, really,
no.
Does he?
He's going to be the new general manager at I-70 Motorsports Park next year.
Yeah, we know that. We talked about that on the show here. Let's talk about Logan Schuchart wins the Tom Tarleton Classic out at Keller Auto Speedway in Hanford, California. What'd you guys think about that race? Macedo led that race early. What'd you guys think of that race?
Well, I hate doing this because, and Austin and I talked about this on Saturday's show, Dirt Vision for two races in a row made a big mistake. The director flipped away. We didn't see the actual
pass
for the lead that Logan Schuchart made on Carson Macedo
It's let's talk about this just for a second. I don't know why the fans were so upset. I guess it's because they wanted to see Carson Macedo win that race.
I thought
Logan Schuchart slid him clean. Did you, Austin?
When I first saw it, and it's like what Kirk and I talked about on Saturday, when I first saw the move, and you know they had to make an abrupt cut on the producer to the shot, so it kind of skewed what you were looking at. But when I first saw that, I thought it was pretty dirty. But you go back and you see the full replay of it, and it was textbook. It was a textbook slide job, and Logan did everything right. Logan had a run down the front stretch, and He hit the bottom really good, and he got a run that caught a little bit of moisture to get the car across the track and got to the cushion. And the only thing that might have, you know, affected
Macedo had to get on the brakes.
Yeah, also might have affected his momentum across the track. It was kind of dirty and slick, and it normally if it's you have a little moisture to get a hold of, if it's a little dirty, you can kind of not back the car in the cushion. And I don't know what Macedo was doing. I don't know if Macedo thought it was going to stall out, and he was going to be left in the middle, and he could drive around him on the top, or if he just, you know, that place is kind of wide, so I don't know if he just, with the left side board kind of being down a little bit at the front of the car, I don't know if he just couldn't see him until he was right in front of him. But, yeah, it was kind of on Carson to check up and you know, try and cross under him, or if there was enough room on the top to drive around him, but He just drove through his rear bumper.
Yeah. Nina, one of our great followers here at Mostly Motorsports, she said Ayrton was able to finish the race Saturday night after he lost brakes on lap 10. He finished 10th. Well, when you don't have brakes, that's a tough feat to do, and they're still running the top 10. That's a pretty good feat right there.
Especially at Lucas. And, like, I was talking to Ayrton on the break, and I'm like, dude, I don't know how you were able to manage to run the last three laps. Because when we go to Lucas, that place, it's weird because it requires really more brake than anybody or any track.
To get wowed down, getting in the
Well,
corner.
Not wowed down, but just keeping the car, keeping the wheel spin out of it. And it, when it's really, juiced up, you're tight.
So you drag the brake as you exit?
Yeah, well, you're just dragging the brake to get the car to turn and on off exit. You're kind of dragging the brake, so you're not. If you're going from, like, let's say, moisture to the slick, you're just not trying to kill the wheel spin on it. A lot of the 14 guys do that, and I usually go, and he said it too. You usually go through a set of brake pads through that 3 days of racing, so mm-hmm. through that whole week. So you put a new set in, and they're done by the end of the night. So. Yeah, for him to manage the last three laps with a ton of fuel and the changing track, especially on the bottom, if you're going to run the bottom at Lucas, you're going to need a ton of brake. And for him to do that, I was pretty impressed, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. Rick, he brings it up, the comment that I made on my Facebook page about the ASCS flag stand last week. Did you guys see that, Kirk? What'd you think of that?
Yeah, I thought the flagman a little bit exposed there with no fencing on that front wall there, and you got that flag stand sitting right out there.
How do you get insurance with that flag stand?
I think it'd be safer to do it Chili Bowl style, have the flagman on the infield. That way you can at least get out of the way. It'd be a lot safer.
I said as much. I said that on a post.
Clay County Fair, Spencer.
That a guy said, well, what about the Chili Bowl? I said, well, that's probably what they need to do is flag from the track instead of from that flag stand.
Yeah. But if you're standing down there and a car comes, at least you got a chance to get out of the way.
Right. You're up there 20 feet up in the air.
You got no shot to get out of the way.
No chance of getting out of the way.
So, I don't know. It just looked a bit unsafe to me. But, hey, what do I know?
Yeah, no doubt.
That's kind of a weird deal up there at the Clay County Fair where they bring the cars out between the grandstand and the front wall of the track.
Yeah,
and that's just kind of a different way to do it. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. Well, we appreciate everybody coming on the show today and listening to the show. What do you want?
Just one more thing. Congratulations to Jesse Sobbing, who wins the Malvern Bank Late Model feature at Knoxville. They ran that race after the Lucas Oil Late Model Nationals. Kyle Burke was going to run away and hide. He had some kind of a mechanical issue with a huge lead in that race, dropped out. Jesse Sobbing able to hang on over Jeff Eike, and big win for Jesse Sobbing.
Did the track take rubber with those guys out there, Kurt?
It started to, yeah, because the sun came out. During the 50-lap Lucas Oil late model race, there was some cloud cover that kind of kept the sun out. Then it started to come out towards the end of that race, and then when the Malvern Bank late models, there was sun coming down, so it did take on rubber there.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they ran that after the big show. So.
Right, no doubt.
And, they were limited on options. I know it was tough. I'd rather seen that show at night, but then they forecasted rain coming in on Sunday night. So I think they made a good call by just trying to get the show in, as bad as it was. The weather forecasters didn't have a good weekend. A lot of that was predicted wasn't forecasted. And so if you're sitting there, you're Knoxville officials, you're thinking, let's just get this thing in. Yeah, we don't want to run in the daytime, but we got to get it in.
Yep. All right. Well, there you have it. Today's show, Mostly Motorsports, has been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. For Austin O'Neill, for my partner Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor, saying that we hope that you'll join us tomorrow. Oh, hold on a second. Tomorrow, I'm going to talk a little bit. I don't know how many people have saw the Elvis movie, but I'm going to talk a little bit about that tomorrow. I watched it last night. That was fantastic.
Is that the new movie that
the
just recently
movie
was released?
Just come out. It is fantastic.
I've heard about
you've
that.
You've got to watch it, man. It is really good. We'll talk about it a little bit more tomorrow. And on Wednesday, Bryce Hall has just been named the general manager of Arrowhead Speedway down in Oklahoma. He's going to be on the show on Wednesday with us. We'll probably have Steve Post on as well. So anyway, that's what we're going to do on Wednesday. We'll never know who we'll have on tomorrow. For Austin O'Neill, for Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Mostly Motorsports.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.